Thank you, Ron, Becky, and Ben Margraf. That was a blessing. Thank you. Take your Bible with me and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 this morning.
We finished our series in the book of 2 Corinthians last week, and I'd like to start this morning by looking at another book, the Gospel of Luke. And this will take us into some passages here that will be especially appropriate at the Christmas season, at the beginning of Luke. And so looking forward to seeing what God has given us here. But we'll just consider the first four verses this morning and introducing the Gospel of Luke, thinking about some things about the author as well. Probably many of you had a favorite subject in school. And maybe yours was math or something like that. But I think as I look back on my favorite subject, I think it would have had to have been history. And I know some of you think, history, oh, that was the worst subject. But I always looked forward to going to history class. And the same is true in college. We had this first semester course in college, History of Civilization, and it was the dreaded course. And I found, I actually looked forward to that course and sitting in the class. And that was my favorite subject. But I remember in high school, the teacher that was teaching history for most of the classes would tell us something. We'd have to read the textbook, and then it would come along to some story, American Revolution or something. I don't remember exactly. But I remember he would tell us sometimes that your textbook is actually not right here. And he would say, okay, you need to cross that out in your textbook because that did not happen that way. And he had some source that was more reliable than, the story that everybody told sometimes. And, that's a reminder about what history is. History is not just that you have a story that supposedly happened in the past. When we have history and history teachers, we need to have stories that are based on reliable sources. Somebody who was there, who witnessed it and wrote it down. And, that's really what history should be. I was reminded recently in Mount Vernon, if you read in the paper, there's the Dan Emmett House that was there. I forget if it was where Dan Emmett, the writer of Dixie, grew up. But they found actually that it wasn't true, that that's not actually where he grew up. And, there may have been some other connection, but, we were mistaken. We were led astray. And so sometimes the stories that we end up, that we believe in our history, end up not to be the true ones. And what we need when it comes to history is reliable history, history that is based on verifiable fact. And when we come here to the Gospel of Luke, I want us to consider three things this morning about Luke here. First of all, we're going to consider the man, Luke, and then we'll look at the motivations of Luke, and then we'll consider a few thoughts on the message of Luke. But as we consider the man, Luke, the first thing that we see about Luke is that he was a historian. He was a historian. And as we read this preface to the Gospel of Luke, he tells us that he set about to write this history, and he has reliable sources. Verse 2 says, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." And he tells us about his research as well, verse 3, "having had perfect understanding of all the things." And that's that word has the idea of having carefully studied and having researched. And so as we think about the Gospel of Luke and the man Luke, he was a historian. We'll consider something else about that a little bit later. But what else was Luke? When we see in the Scriptures, there are a couple of other passages that mention Luke. And another passage which mentions him is Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, where Paul identifies him as the beloved physician. So not only was Luke a historian, but maybe more primarily, he was a medical doctor. Luke was a medical doctor. And some people have seen, as you read the Gospel of Luke, the ways in which Luke describes certain conditions and the detail in which he describes these conditions. For example, Peter's mother-in-law's fever, Luke 4:38, the more exact detail of the right hand of the man who had the withered hand, Luke chapter 6, verse 6. He tells us that it was the right ear of the high priest's servant that Peter cut off, Luke chapter 22. And so, you know, you can kind of see how that would make sense. Okay, Luke is a doctor, the beloved physician. And we see that kind of reflected in the Gospel of Luke as well. It would be nice to know a little bit more about what kind of doctor he was. And, you know, where was his practice? And did he continue on with that? But we just don't know that. We know that he was a doctor. And we know that he was a historian, as he tells us here. But then we see something else that Luke was, a third thing about the man Luke, and that is what we see reflected in another book that he wrote. Not only did Luke write the Gospel of Luke, but Luke wrote the book of Acts. And you can almost kind of think of the books as kind of two books together on your bookshelf that should go together, maybe even bound together at one time. I don't know. But Luke wrote both of those things. And when we see the book of Acts, we start reading along and we find that the writer speaks in the first person at times. He says, "We did this, we did that." And we learn that Luke was with Paul at various times. He traveled with him. Not only was Luke a historian, a medical doctor, but Luke was also a faithful companion of the Apostle Paul. He was a faithful companion of the Apostle Paul. We see that in other places as well. Philemon 24, verse 24. Paul calls him one of his fellow laborers, along with Marcus, Aristarchus, and Demas. So he was right there with Paul. But then we see the level of commitment that Luke had to being with Paul. And over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul seems to be near the end of his life. And he's writing there to Timothy these final words of instruction. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, he writes, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Then he says this in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." Only Luke is with me. So here we see Paul in a discouraging position in his life. Everybody's gone away from him. Demas hath forsaken me. But there's one man who hasn't forsaken Paul. That's Luke. And I can't imagine what went on there. I don't know what went on there, but what temptation, what pressure there might have been for Luke to go his separate way too. But we see that Luke was faithful. He was a loyal companion to the Apostle Paul as well. So he was a historian, a medical doctor, a faithful companion of Paul. And then one final thought about the man Luke comes from what he writes in Luke, in the book of Acts especially. But I wanted to direct your thoughts to Acts chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. But in Acts chapter 16, we see the record of the Macedonian call that comes to the Apostle Paul. And Paul has this vision of a Macedonian, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And we see the again, the first person that's used here, Acts chapter 16 and verse 10. "After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So Luke includes himself here. All right, Paul has had this call, and we are going to preach the gospel unto them. Luke includes himself in that. And the first place they go is to Philippi. And you remember what happened there at Philippi. Lydia was converted. And then a little bit later, there is a girl who is demon-possessed that starts following them. And in verse 17, it says, this girl followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And again, Luke includes himself in that. This girl was talking about us and saying, "These men declare unto us the way of salvation." So what does that tell us about Luke? It tells us, we've seen he's a historian, a medical doctor, a faithful companion. But more than anything else, Luke is a missionary. Luke is a missionary. He is one who is telling people the way of salvation. He's preaching to them how people can be saved through Jesus Christ, along with Paul. He includes that as part of his practice here. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of another medical doctor by the name of Walter Wilson. Walter Wilson was a medical doctor in the early part of the 1900s. He studied to be a doctor at the University Medical School of Kansas City. He practiced medicine in Missouri, but he had a father-in-law who became very ill. His father-in-law was the owner of a manufacturing company. They made tents, of all things. It was called the Baker Lockwood Manufacturing Company. And because of his father-in-law's illness, Dr. Wilson also had to play a role in that company. And he was a manager, he was a traveling agent, a salesman for the company. And so he had that job as well for 25 years. He did that. But his testimony is that he took advantage of every opportunity he had to witness, to present the gospel. He would pray at the beginning of each day earnestly for the leading of the Holy Spirit to lead him to have an opportunity with somebody to share the gospel, not something that was forced, but he would have these opportunities, people coming in and wanting to talk with him. And you can read about some of those stories and how he talked to people. There's a book called Just What the Doctor Ordered. It gives the testimony of Dr. Wilson, Walter Wilson. But his response, when somebody would ask him about heaven, about the things of God, he would say, "Yes, that is my principal business in life." I wonder if Dr. Luke would have said the same thing. Yes, I'm a medical doctor. Yes, I have this occupation, but what's my principal business in life? And I think that's a good reminder to us as well. You know, you may have a profession. You may be in sales or the medical profession even, or food service or some other profession, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a missionary. And, you know, we all have this obligation to be like Luke. You know, he was a medical doctor, and, you know, whether he was practicing or not, I don't know, but he saw the need to commit himself to furthering this message, to telling people about the way of salvation. And what a testimony that is to us as well. And, you know, many people throughout history that have been like that. And it's always a challenge when we meet people that are zealous for telling people about the Lord. And, you know, they're not pastors or missionaries. You know, they may be in some other profession, but they see their need to do that. And, you know, it's not all up to Pastor Howard, you know, to tell people about Jesus in this community. It's up to you. It's up to you to take some tracts and have them in your car, to be praying for opportunities. So we see the man Luke. Next, let's consider the motivations of Luke. What are the motivations of Luke here in writing this gospel? I think the first thing we need to think about is the fact that God led Luke to write. God led Luke to write. 2 Peter chapter 1 is an important passage. along that line. You don't have to turn there. But Peter tells us about, we have a more sure word of prophecy, verse 19 of 2 Peter 1. Whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's talking about inspiration. That all of the books that have been revealed to us by God were inspired by the Holy Spirit. God led people along as they wrote Scripture. That was true for Luke as well. And I think we may even see an indication of this here in our passage this morning in verse 3, where it says, "It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things, from the very first." And maybe some of you have a footnote in your Bible which says, "from the very first" is a word that's usually translated in the Scripture from above. In every other place that it's translated in the New Testament, it's translated from above. And perhaps there is an indication that Luke had the understanding that he was writing something that God was leading him to write. And that's true with all the Scripture, that it is from God. It is not merely the product of a human being thinking about what he should write and writing it down. That's not how it works. God has given us Scripture, and he used people to do that. And then we see that God led Luke to write something unique. God led Luke to write a unique account. He tells us in verse 1 that there had been other attempts to write histories like this. Look at verse 1. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Luke knows about other people that have endeavored to write a similar thing to what he's writing here. Perhaps he's referring to the other gospel writers, and he's writing something that's going to be a little bit different from them, even more lengthy. He's starting at the beginning. He's going through the spread of the gospel through Paul. And no one else has done that. Perhaps that was what he's referring to. But it was a unique account that God led him to write. And then we see, thirdly, that God led Luke to write an accurate account. God led Luke to write an accurate account. We see that with Luke's explanation of his sources. Verse 2, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." Luke is telling us that he used reliable sources. And this is a reminder, an explanation of the way that God led people to write the Holy Scripture. He did not always dictate to them what they were to write. We see here that Luke used sources. He knew people that were eyewitnesses of Christ. And God used that process. It wasn't always that he just said, "Okay, Luke, write this down." Now, he did do that sometimes. But God used those reliable sources, eyewitnesses to Christ. 1 John 1:1 includes ear witnesses. John himself, an eyewitness, says, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, the word of life." And these witnesses were still around when Paul and Luke ministered. When Paul is teaching about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, he talks about Christ, the risen Christ, having appeared to 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now. So Paul and Luke were ministering at a time when there were a lot of people who had interacted with Christ, even the risen Christ. When Paul was writing, there were people around that could tell what they had seen, what they had heard. Many people. My wife was working through some letters that she had received from her grandfather a couple weeks ago. Those were letters that talked about his own experience in battles in World War II. And you know, he was talking about what happened. You know, I think he was there at Normandy, and you know, his experience there, and that was an eyewitness account. Right, he was there, and he was writing down the things that he experienced, and you know, sending that to my wife, and you know, that would be a reliable source to know what happened on that invasion day. And you know, you could rely on that sort of thing. And that's the idea of the things that Luke was consulting. Luke interacted with people who heard Christ, who saw Christ. And so he's seeking to write authoritatively, accurately. And God is leading him to write in that way. I think there's a reminder there that the things of our faith are based upon reliable facts. You know, we're not just talking about things that someone dreamed up. We are talking about history, things that happened, people that saw these things. This is what our faith is based on. And, you know, Peter tells us that it's even more reliable than that. You know, Peter talks about his eyewitness account there at the Transfiguration. Then he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. All right, you think eyewitnesses are reliable. Let's talk about inspired scripture, which also entered into this. But God wanted us to know that there's both of that. There's inspiration. God used these reliable sources to tell us what we need to know. So God led Luke to write. He led him to write a unique account, an accurate account. Then we see that God led Luke to write a beneficial account. Notice verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. God led Luke to write a beneficial account. And it was beneficial, it is beneficial to people. In fact, when Luke was writing this, he had a specific person in mind. And he tells us about him, Theophilus. And we don't know exactly who he was. His name means lover of God. And he seems to be a real person. Luke calls him most excellent Theophilus. Perhaps he was some sort of official in some capacity. That term, most excellent, is used of other governmental officials in the scripture. Perhaps that was true of this man. We don't know. But he had this person in mind when he's writing. Luke's thinking about a person as he writes these things. And we see that it's beneficial to people, and it's beneficial for certainty. For spiritual certainty, he says in verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So this person, whoever he was, had known some things, even been taught in some things about Christ. But Luke's desire for him is to come to greater certainty in his faith. And we see that's the desire of other gospel writers as well. John's gospel, John 20:31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name. So the things that the gospel writers give to us are beneficial for our faith, for being certain about that faith. And so I would ask the question, what is it that will give such certainty to people? What is it that Luke is writing about that will give this person, Theophilus, such certainty about the things that he's been taught? What is Luke writing about? What is the subject? And that leads us to the third thing this morning, the message of Luke. What is the message that Luke has? What is it that he writes about that will give us certainty about our faith? You know, as we read the book of Luke, as we read any of the gospel writers, their subject is the same. They all write about the same thing. Now, various perspectives on the same thing, But the one subject of the book of Luke and all of the gospel writers is the thing that will give us certainty about our faith, knowing about this. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ and who he is, the work that he did, that is what gives us certainty. Knowing Jesus Christ. And Luke presents Jesus Christ in a unique way, just as each of the gospel writers do. But we see that Luke's message is a message of the universality of Jesus Christ. As we read the Gospel of Luke, we see that Luke perhaps had Gentile readers in mind. We see that he explains various Jewish places, like somebody who may not be familiar with these things would need to know. And so we see that Jesus Christ is not just for the Jewish people. He is for all people, whatever your race or nationality is. And we see in the book of Luke examples of Christ's ministry to all people, Samaritans, women, publicans, other types of sinners. We see how Luke presents Christ reaching out to all people. We see a message of the universality of Jesus Christ. Then we see a message of the compassion of Jesus Christ. And these are things that we would see in any of the gospel writers, but perhaps especially in Luke. We see his compassion on individuals. We see Christ ministering to specific people, and specific people being highlighted. Even in this first chapter, we have Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, a little bit later on, Simeon, Anna, Martha, Mary, Simon, Levi, Zacchaeus, Joseph of Arimathea. We have these people, individuals, that are highlighted, showing their personal need and Christ's compassion on them. And I think as we consider the compassion of Christ, we're reminded about Christ's role as not only prophet, as king, but also as priest. Christ ministers in that role. And Hebrews 4:15 says that we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, as we see these stories of Christ's compassion, these are not intended just to be nice little stories that we can think about. These are showing us the compassion of Christ, the sympathy of Christ that he has towards people. And so we see a message of compassion of Jesus Christ. And then most of all, we see that Luke is a message of the mission of Jesus Christ. A message of the mission of Jesus Christ. Some people have identified Luke 19:10 as a key verse, which says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And one preacher divided up the books or the chapters here according to that verse. Chapters 1 through 4 talk about the Son of Man sent. We see Christ being sent into the world in those four chapters and being prepared for his mission. And then chapters 4 through 21, we see the Son of Man seeking. The Son of Man came to seek. And he is ministering. He's reaching out to people. He is preaching. And he's seeking that which was lost. And then we see in the final chapters, chapters 22 to 24, the Son of Man saving. The Son of Man saving. And there we have the work of Christ, that final week of his life, which focuses on his crucifixion and resurrection. And we see the provision that God gave through Christ in the sacrifice that was made. The Son of Man saving, providing for salvation there on the cross at the end of this gospel. So as we approach this book and days to come, Lord willing, we need to approach this book with the mindset that Luke identifies here in these first four verses. That here we have something that will be spiritually strengthening for us. The message of Christ is something, whether you know about it or not, whether you've already been instructed about it, knowing about Christ is something that will strengthen you spiritually. That was the purpose that he writes to Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And so if we approach the book with that mindset, we can receive that strengthening. We receive that confidence as we come to understand Christ. So we see the man, Luke, the example that he is, the motivations. God led him to write. He writes something unique and accurate and also beneficial to us as we consider the message, which is a message about Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this gospel that's been recorded so accurately for us, which teaches us of Christ. We pray that in days to come, we would have opportunity to be strengthened in our faith from considering these truths about Christ. And so we pray that you would help our thoughts to be on him this morning, even as we come to the Lord's table, thinking about the work of Christ. Pray that this would be strengthening for us as well. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn